Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 25 through 30. If you're here in the sanctuary, I invite you to follow along. You'll find it on the back of your bulletin. And if you're joining us through our live stream, you'll find the passage here on the screens as well. Again, this is the book of John, chapter 3, verses 25 through 30. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, "Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us." And John replied, "No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." Today is our fourth and last Sunday in the Advent season, and our theme for today is joy. Now, I think that it's good that joy is the last theme we celebrate in the Advent season. You see, it seems to me that naturally joy would come after we've talked about hope, we've talked about peace, and we've talked about love. If you've experienced hope, if you've experienced peace, if you have experienced love, well then, a natural response to those three things is, of course, joy. Joy should be natural to us at this point in our holiday season. And yet, as is often the case, joy doesn't seem to always come as naturally as we think it should. You see, it seems to me that our joy is often overwhelmed by sadness. And this is one of the great mysteries about joy and sadness, is that joy and sadness are rarely equal. In other words, it only takes a little bit of sadness to overwhelm a great deal of joy. I know that this is often the case in my life. I have so many things to be joyful about. There are so many sources of joy in my life, but it seems that the majority of my time, my energy, and my focus is spent dwelling on the areas of the sadness that I experience in this world. Perhaps you can relate. You know, I am your pastor, and one of the great honors of my life is walking alongside you in the journey of the joys and the sadnesses that you experience living in this world. And I have watched you go through the joys and sadnesses that we all have experienced over the past year, and I can say with a fairly significant amount of confidence that this pattern holds true for you as well. There is heartache in our lives. All of us experience sadness on one level or another, and we all hurt for different reasons. Now, there is one reason that we all have shared as a source of our sadness, and that is, of course, been this pandemic, this COVID season. we have shared in the sadness of having our future plans and goals changed because of this sickness. Some of us have shared the experience of the real financial hardship that we've experienced because of COVID, our businesses suffering, or even our retirements decreasing. Some of us have had to stand by as loved ones. Oftentimes, seniors in our community or in our families have been isolated for months at a time in the same room. We've all experienced hurt and sadness because of COVID. And then on top of that, we all experience just the normal day-to-day hurts and sadnesses that come with living in what we would normally call a normal world. We lose loved ones and family members, and we try to navigate how to best care for aging parents, and we deal with divorce and broken relationships. We deal with family strife and division. There are a myriad different reasons why we might experience sadness. And in the midst of all this hurt and of all this sadness, we are somewhere supposed to find joy because it's Christmas season. We're supposed to be joyful. But it's hard. And so the question that I want us to ask this morning is a very simple one. Where? Where are we going to find this joy amidst so much hurt, so much frustration, and again, so much sadness? Well, in our passage today, maybe a little bit confusing, but John the Baptist suggests that we find it at a wedding. He says in verse 29 of our passage, "It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success." Charlie and I were out of town last week. Now, it's unadvisable to be traveling at this time. We understand that, but we simply could not miss Charlie's little brother's wedding. We traveled last weekend to watch Charlie's brother Chad be married to his fiancée, a Daisy. And we went to Colorado Springs for this wedding. Now, I want to share with you right off the bat, there was some hardship associated with this wedding. It began on the first flight from Spokane to Salt Lake City, with Epperly having a very difficult time understanding why he doesn't get to run up and down the aisle of the plane as we take off. And then it continued when they brought her that package of those precious United Airlines cookies that taste kind of like ginger snap cookies, right? They crunch in your mouth and they're absolutely delicious. She didn't understand that why when she looked at the woman and said, "More, more, more," that she didn't get any. Well, she may have gotten one more. But none after that, and she wasn't having that. And when she doesn't have something she wants, well, you all know how that goes. That was the first hardship of this wedding, but it wasn't the last one. In fact, I personally believe the great hardship of the wedding was the wedding itself. Now, it was a wonderful wedding. It was joyful. We're going to talk about that, but I need to put this before you first. 2 months ago, when my brother-in-law announced that the wedding would be outside, I said, "That is so wonderful. That's in keeping with Chad and Daisy. They're hikers. They love the Denver, Colorado area, going out and doing all the 10,000 people, all of that great stuff. It suits them perfectly." Except that where we were married, it was 20 degrees out with a 10-degree wind chill and snowing. And I'm standing in literally these clothes. And as the wedding party begins to walk down the aisle, the only thought I have is, I am in the early stages of hypothermia. And so this boy better kiss this girl so that we can all go inside. There were some hardships at this wedding, but there was also a whole lot of joy. There was the joy of the bride, a daisy, my new sister-in-law. I can't even explain to you as she came down that aisle, I guess we'll call it. It was more or less just dirt and sand, but it was there. As she came down and she saw my brother Chad and saw the joy in his face, she realized that she was loved, that she was his bride. And there was nothing that was going to contain the joy in her face. There was nothing that was going to keep that joy from her. Even the fact that the wedding was only about 10, 12 people because of the COVID restrictions. Family couldn't be there that wanted to be there. Even for the fact that the wedding had to be only about 15 minutes because everyone was freezing, nothing was going to take that joy from her because simply, again, she was love. And there are times when every single one of us, when we are surrounded by hurt, we are surrounded by sadness, that we need to know, we need to experience that we are, in fact, a bride. Scripture again and again and again describes Jesus' church, his people, as his bride. You are loved beyond all comparison. Jesus Christ has called each of us to be his bride, to love us beyond anything that we can imagine. And just like the cold, just like COVID couldn't take a daisy's love, nothing in this world can take the joy from us of knowing that we are loved by Jesus Christ. Some of us need to hear that we are the bride. I also experienced joy at my brother as one of the groomsmen. John the Baptist talks about this person. In fact, John understands himself as the groomsman. Let's call him the best man. You see, the best man, he gets to witness the bridegroom love the bride. He gets the great honor of watching the groom share his love with his beloved. And I got to see that last Friday. When my brother-in-law was standing there, you could tell that running around and getting everyone together and in the right places was beginning to take its toll in the 20-degree weather. But when a daisy rounded the corner and she started to come up that aisle, all of that was taken away. And the only thing that existed in that moment was his bride, the one that he loved. And I got to see that. I got to stand there as they both read their vows to one another, the promises that they were making, that they were going to be for each other, they were going to sacrifice for each other, and they were going to love one another as Christ loves his bride, the church. It was a powerful moment to witness. And some of us today, we need to know, we need to experience the joy of being the best man. Now, in order to be the best man, you have to be paying attention. You can't be distracted by the cold, by COVID, by the brokenness of this world. I understand those things are real and they're hurtful. But if you have the eyes to see, and if you have the ears to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, then what you will want to do again and again and again is to be a witness, is to point, is to say, look how much this groom loves this bride. This is one of the joys of being a child of God, is that we then get to witness how desperately he loves the world. We get to point to that wedding ceremony. Some of us today need to know the joy of being the best man. And then there is the joy of the groom. Daisy had joy as the bride. I had joy as one of the groomsmen. And then there is the joy of the groom himself. Chad is not an emotional person. I've seen Chad cry probably twice in his entire life. And one of those was when he broke his collarbone playing quarterback. He doesn't cry a lot, but Chad was crying. Chad was crying because he got to express his love to a Daisy in a new way. Not as his girlfriend, not as his fiance, but as his wife. It was almost as if everything leading up for Chad in his life had come to this moment. He got to love a person in the way that God created love to be, a self-sacrificing love. A love in which the person before you matters more than you possibly could in and of yourself. Where your union now brings you to being a possible and fulfilled opportunity to express God's love for the world. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the groom, and he loves us in that way. And we know where his story goes. His love knows no boundaries. He goes to the cross for us. This is the love of God. And it is actually God's great joy to love us. All three are at a wedding, and all three are calling us to experience joy. And what we learn from the wedding is that joy is not an abstract feeling. We often talk, again, about experience joy at the holidays, but it's this nebulous, undefinable feeling of warmness that we're supposed to have when we light candles and we sing songs and we eat cookies. And those things are good. But that's not what joy is. Abstract joy cannot overcome concrete sadness. We just got done talking about the realities of the life that we experience. A feeling can't come up against an experience. But Christian joy is always in response to something real, to something experienced. Christian joy is the joy of the bride, of the groomsman, of the best man. Christian joy is always a response to the fact that God is at work in the world. God is actively loving us. And God is calling us to actively witness to his love for us and for those around us. That is where our joy is fulfilled. We become joyful, as John the Baptist says, as we watch Jesus be successful at loving us. And he is. It's hard to believe, but in a few days we are going to celebrate Christmas. And today is our last Sunday in Advent, and we are to be joyful. And we are to be joyful because on Christmas morning we celebrate, as strange as it sounds, a wedding, where God sends the groom to be with us and to be for us. And that groom loves his bride with his entire life, his entire being. God commits himself to being our God and to us to be his people. We as the bride are loved, and at the same time, we are the best man, and we get to point to that love. It's not a feeling. It's an experience. And so as you prepare your hearts this week to celebrate the coming of the Lord, do so with true joy in your heart. Because you are, at the end of the day, at a joyful wedding. Let us pray. God of mercy and God of grace, you love us. You call us to experience what it is to be a bride, what it is to be the best man or the maid of honor, Lord, because you are the groom. We're told in Scripture, Lord, that the kingdom of God is like a wedding feast. And at that wedding feast, Lord, we will celebrate the love that you have for us and for the world. And so as we go into this season, Lord, let our hearts be filled with joy, the joy of experiencing the love that you have for us in Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.